You are my peace, Amen. Amen. You are my peace.
Amen.
That was so relaxing there for a moment. You are my peace. God bless you, family. Family, you there tonight?
Yes, we are. You're live.
Amen. God bless you. Again, we are here talking about the order of the church. Amen. I am so excited to be back at you again. And it's interesting because you know that the broadcast goes every second Thursday. And then the last Thursday that I met with you guys in July, there was something going on in the church. And we didn't talk about it, but we knew about it, which was the Leandra Johnson. And then now we have something else going on in the church, which is the meeting of the, as they say, the name, the mainly named pastors with Donald Trump. So God gave me this topic before this broadcast. So again, you know that it's much needed talking about the order of the church, because it seems as though that there is a little disorder and confusion and other things that's going on. So I'm glad to be back at you again. Tonight is the last night of this three topic series. And again, we're talking about the order of the church, which is you. And we're talking about the order of the church, the actual fellowship, the gathering of the baptized body of believers. So I want to go ahead and pray, and we want to go ahead and get started, because I definitely want to make sure that I close this out right for you, so make sure that we have a full understanding of what God is requiring of those that will remain faithful in this time, in the shift and the move of the church. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for yet another day. God, you are our peace. In the midst of confusion, you are our peace. In the midst of what's going on in the world, you are our peace. In the midst of what man is making the church, you are our peace. In the midst of our lives and all that's going on in our lives, you are our peace. So, Father, we invite and invoke the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Father, to rule upon this broadcast right now. Touch your people, Lord, that are already on the line and those that will come in. Father, let them hear your words and none of mine. Father, you be the lead, the guide, and the spokesperson, Father, for this, your church, your people right now at this time. This we ask in your most precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to do a little recap of the last 2 months. Again, I'm not going to stay on that too long because I want to get proper time for this last subject, because I got to hit you hard on this. But we are talking about the order of the church. And the broadcast was broken up into two parts. The first half was the order of you, the church, and then the second half was the order of the actual church fellowship. And in talking about you as the church, in order for you to be in order with God, you must be willing to work. And that's the W-O-R-K. The W stood for worship. And that's getting into the presence of God. How else are you going to know order if you're not in the presence of God to get direction? Then we spoke on the O, which is obedience. We know that obedience is definitely always in order, and that's obedience to God and obedience to leadership. Then on last month, we also spoke about the R, which is order comes from reading. This is how you learn the characteristics of God. This is how you understand your purpose. This is how you are conscious-minded of sin. This is how it opens up blessings, and on top of that, gives you boldness. Also, the R was for repenting. You always have to be in order to repent. You need to make sure that you purify your heart, your mind, and your soul daily with repentance. How can you repent if you don't admit or aware of the wrong that you do? That's why reading comes in. As for the order of the church, we talked about order of ministries and administration, having the right leaders in the right position who are qualified through the anointing, not through natural gifts and talents. They can have those, but do they also have the anointing? Then we talked about order of proper planning events and excellence, meaning your conference, your revivals, and even some of your special programs and church services. Remember, my main point is never to depend on the offering that day to meet your budget. Proper order is you shall already have your budget already in place. Amen. So So let's finish up today. So remember, we did the W, we did the O, we did the R, and today is the K. In order to be in order, you must be willing to work. And the K stands for kill yourself. Sorry, that's how God gave it to me, but hey, we know that it's found in the word, amen, because John chapter 12, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth fruit. So again, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So then we're going to wrap it up also with our order of the pulpit, including ministers and leaders. So I hope that you are ready. So killing yourself, I'm going to have to kill you hard today. And talking about the pulpit, pastors, bishops, evangelists, ministers, and leaders, there is an order that you should also be in as well in order to help advance the kingdom. So for us as the church to be in order, we have to kill ourselves. We have to learn this. We have to get an understanding, and we also have to get it in our hearts, not just our heads, that this is not about us. Let me express that one more time. Please learn this, understand this, get this in your heart, that everything that we do concerning God is never about us. I gotta back it up with the word. Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, if therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his wrong own things. Again, look not every man on his what? Own things, but every man also on the things of who? Others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So he's telling us, if we say that, quote that scripture all the time, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But the problem is you don't even know the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ, it was not about himself. Remember, he didn't come for himself. He came for you. So if you want the same mind of Christ, remember, it's not about you. Get your mind off of yourself and put it on others. I'm about to help somebody with that right now. So killing yourself is to love God, be on one accord, and not think about yourself. Ooh, we got a lot of selfish people in the church, but you call yourself the church. You call yourself loving on Christ. You call yourself being like Christ. But you can't even get your mind off yourself for 1 minute of the day and think about nobody else. So to be in order, you have to not think on yourself. You have to kill yourself to yourself daily so you can begin to think on others. Mark chapter 12, write this down. Please write this down. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, and this is the NIV version. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We know that one, right? Then it says the second is. So remember, the first. So if he come back, now listen, y'all, look. If he come back and say the second is this, that means he already gave you the first. So he gave you the first, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. The second thing to do is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. The second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say the second one first was love yourself first and then love your neighbor. He said love your neighbor as yourself. The Message Bible says it this way. So let me see if I can hit home, if somebody can grab it before I got to break it down. It says love others as well as you love yourself. Love others as well as you love yourself. Let me go into the English definition to help us get the understanding of the word as. So we got to go down just down to that basic. The word as, when used in conjunction, which means when you are bringing two separate things together, it is used is used to indicate that something happens during the same time as the other thing is taking place. The same time. It wasn't no one before the other. So when he said, love your neighbor as yourself, that means at the same time. That means that you don't come first. Your neighbor don't come first. Y'all both come together. So we have no order within ourselves, which means us as people or the church have no order in fellowship, in our fellowship settings, because we so focused on me, I. The word just told you, while you are loving you, love others at the same time. We are too self-centered. We're too egotistical. It's all about me. You can't have the I'm doing me choir singing the same song all the time in the church and not considering others. You know that I'm just going to do me. I'm just doing me. I'm just doing me. Man, that song's so played out right now. And then the song then got in the church. And now it's a song every Sunday. As soon as they see somebody that needs some help or somebody that needs some assistance, well, that ain't my job. That's them. I'm doing me. Really, how did that song get in the church, y'all? When the word just told you to love your neighbor as yourself. So while you're doing me, you need to be doing your neighbor. Because love, when it says, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus, because remember, he didn't come for himself. He came for you. So remember, this is not about you, so you have to kill yourself. Also, one other thing we have to kill, and one thing that we don't want to kill, and this has to be done daily, is the flesh. Oh, that flesh, that thing that want to do what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, how it wants to do it, and so on and so forth. Man, that's that I'm doing me. It's you doing whatever you feel. You do whatever you want to do. Remember I said before, I said it's difficult because when the word is talking, it says that what's the scripture I'm trying to think of right now? Oh, it won't come to my mind. It's my favorite scripture. But basically, we've come to a point where things that are not, that's not normal, has become normal. We look at, okay, well, I'm not the only one. There's millions of other people, so we become to accept it. Or else that's how you were taught and that's how you were trained. And so the thing is that we're not reading the word. Because remember, in order to be in order, you have to read the word. The word tells you what is out of order, what is sin, what is the sins of the flesh. And if you're not reading that word and expounding on that word, then how are you killing yourself? How are you killing your flesh daily if you don't even know what to kill? So in killing our flesh, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, it says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to lust of men, but the will of God. There is only one final death. But while you are yet living this journey, there are many daily, minute by minute, moment by moment deaths that need to take place in our life, and that is killing the flesh. You want to be in order as the church, you have to kill your flesh. There is a living in dying. Wow. There's a living in dying. And you can say, how do you say that, Pastor V? Because Philippians 1 and 21 says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's living in dying. You're not going to, you know, I know it's hard because you think that you're going to miss something. You think you're missing out on something. You think you're missing out on the fun. You think you're missing out on the good times or the opportunities or this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, it's more living in dying. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We don't want to deny ourselves for nothing to gain more of God. And I'm not talking about the denying yourself when you're living without things. You're living without houses and cars. I'm talking about living without that sin, which is a weight in your life. that sin, which has your mind confused, you don't know if you coming and going, you don't know what you're doing from day to day, that sin that have you trapped up, that sin that will have you sick, that sin will have you full of consequences. I'm talking about killing yourself to that and living free from up under that guilt, that shame, that condemnation, that gossip, and everything else that comes with it. I'm talking about living, considering others, living, considering God and what his word requires of us. There's living to better someone else's life and introducing them to God. There is living in by not giving into our sinful flesh. There's much living to be done. We're not living until we're dying. Did I ever say yet that it was going to be easy? I live in the flesh myself. You're like, okay, Pastor V, you talking as if you don't live in the flesh. I live in this flesh every single day, this brown flesh every single day. No, it is not easy. And it's interesting because Paul, the Apostle Paul, my friend, my mentor, my keeper, real guy in the Bible, said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, I don't really understand myself. How many of y'all feel like that sometimes? Listen, Paul just kept it real. I really don't understand myself. There are some days I really don't understand myself. And he says, for what I want to do, when I want to do right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. So I'm giving to you the other version. He said, for what I want to do, for when I want to do what is right, I don't. Instead, I do that thing that I really don't want to do. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong, but it's the sin, the flesh that lives in me that does it. Paul even told you, you're going to be balanced thing. There's going to be times, man, your mind is so geared to doing right. You have it set. I mean, there's times where I have fasted and I have prayed and I have come up and I'm like, man, I saw the glory of God. I didn't see the power of God move. And I'm just walking in right. And all of a sudden, wrong just seemed to, it ring my doorbell. It called my phone. It does a whole lot of stuff. You're like, where did this come from? It's like a love-hate relationship. It's like I enjoy that thing, but I hate that thing because I know that thing is what's going to cause me death. That's why you got to kill yourself daily. It's a fight to kill yourself. Anybody out there, please agree with me on that. I'm telling you to consider others. You like, Pastor V, you telling me to consider other people? But ain't nobody thinking about me. Oh, I know that too. But the word told you to. Yes, you have to kill that thinking and say, God, I know if I do it for them, you're going to do it for me. See, the thing is don't look at for your return in people. Look for your return in God. God, they ain't even thinking about me, but you told me to think about them. So I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do with a joyful heart. Not as a chore, but as in a joyful heart, because this, you told me to have this mind in me that's also in Christ Jesus. And Jesus even thought about other people, even the lowest people to the highest people, to the people that was talking about him, to the people that was trying to stab him behind his back. And Jesus still thought about those people. I can still think about those people because my reward is eventually going to come from you. It's not going to come from them. You like, Pastor V, I have been this way for so long. This thing that you're talking about, I've been dealing with it and fighting with this flesh for 20 years. I need you to kill that thinking because the word says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So therefore, you're already saying that that sin or that flesh is greater than Jesus. No. Kill that thinking. Tell your flesh, Christ, the spirit is greater than me than this flesh. As I said, you, listen, a whole lot of people die from sin, but I ain't never seen nobody that died from not sinning. I'd rather die, and then what they say, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. So kill that flesh. Remove that thinking. Don't make that thing greater than God. Make God greater than that thing. And how do you make God greater? You got to go back to the worship. You got to go back to the obedience. You got to go back to the reading. You got to go back to the repenting. And then you get to the killing yourself. You're trying to kill yourself and you don't have no worship. You're not obedient and humble to God. you're not repenting and you're not reading, that's what gives you the power and the tools that you need to be able to kill this flesh. Amen. So now I want to talk about the order of church. Then we're going to close this thing up. The order of the church, the pulpit. I'm speaking about the pastors, ministers, bishops, evangelists, etc. Okay? My first point under this, please, again, y'all know my name. If you got something to say, please be ready to dial one and say what you got to say, but I'm going to tell you like a T.I. is. Number one, who did you train under and who ordained you into these positions? That's my first question. I do understand that the call of God does not need to have degrees, like going to school and bachelor's degrees, because it is the anointing. But the one thing that the anointing of God needs to have is training. And you need to have a mentor. And it's all through the word. I will walk you through some of them, but it's all through the word that Samuel sat under Eli, Joshua sat under Moses, David even sat under Saul, Paul sat under Ananias and the apostles, Timothy sat under Paul, Elisha sat up under Elijah. Who trained you? Who ordained you? Who promoted your call? We have too many self-made leaders that did not sit up under anyone to get any proper training. That is so out of order. And you wondering why the church is losing part of its mind, not because it's not up under the anointing of God, because that's not the order of God. Remember back in Acts, I believe it's chapter 19, the sons of Sceva, when they tried to get the anointing and hadn't sat up under nobody? Them demons looked at them and said, Paul and Silas, I know. See, because I know they was trained up under anointing. They got the anointing and the mantle passed to them. I know them, but I don't know who y'all is, so therefore them demons whipped them asunder. Y'all better hear me, please. Order is proper training. So again, we got to get back to the basics. Everybody just want to jump from, I don't know, from the outside to the pulpit. They ain't even came by way of the pews. They just want to get up under there and call themselves preachers, or get up under there, call themselves leaders, and this, and you ain't had no training. Don't come by my way or my house, and I'm first thing going to be like, who trained you? I remember when they say back in the Baptist church and probably other churches, Church of God in Christ, they, you know, when you got ready to join the church, they asked you, how did you come, by Christian letter or experience? Whatever happened to that? Can we please get that back in the church? You used to have to either come by letter, which means you had to bring a letter from your other church who you served up under so they could tell them and testify to what you have done, or by Christian experience, and then it's almost like a resume. You had to write it out on the application, the things that you used to do in the other church before you could even be a member at the church, before you could even say that you wanted to leave the church. What happened to that? We so out of order. Shoot me if you want to. Email me, Facebook. Call me if you want to, if you don't agree with that. But I stand on that. Number two, bishops and pastors, those over congregations, I know that you're working hard and you want some respite and you want some help, but appointing people just to titles is out of order. You ain't watched them. You ain't seen them pick up a broom. You ain't seen them mop. You ain't seen them do nothing. You ain't even paying tithes in the church. But because you want to look so big and have all these people on your roll and your roster, you just appoint anybody to any type of position in your church, and you straight out of order. And you wondering why your church is catching hell. Excuse me if I'm wrong, but you wonder why your church is catching hell is because you got the wrong people in the wrong positions doing the wrong thing, and they ain't even been there but 5 minutes. My calling was in 2000. God called me in 2000. Do you know how long I sat up under lead? It wasn't until 2007. I did my first preach in 2000, but then after that, there was nothing else that I did until 2007. 7 years I served up under that ministry. I had to drive the van. I had to go pick up the prisoners. I had to go to the shelter. I had to clean the bathrooms. I had to carry the first lady bag, the pastor's bag, be the second. I had to do a whole lot of work to prove that I was called by God before they even let me even have the title evangelist. We don't even have that no more. Elevation is not a right or entitlement because someone has been there for so long. Stop doing that. Or because your daddy is a pastor. Oh, you're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be just, come, are y'all serious? Check the anointing first, men and women of God. If you the only leader of the church, you the pastor and you the bishop or whatever, and you the only leader in the church, I'm sorry, you're just going to be the only leader in the church because you're out of order and you cause a more disorder by putting people in positions and you have not checked their calling. The third thing, as I said, I'm a pastor and I'm an assistant pastor. Even though I know God called me to do what he has called me to do, guess what? I'm still humble myself to the vision of my bishop. That is, man, we are so out of order with that. The problem is that you do not promote your own agenda while under somebody else's leadership. If you're doing that, you're out of order. Never promote your own agenda while under somebody's leadership. Even me doing my radio broadcast right now, my bishop know exactly what I'm doing and when I'm doing it. I don't care if he don't never call in. The first thing I did was go to him, tell him. I still, if somebody called me to preach, I'm an ordained pastor. But because I'm up under his leadership, if someone asks me to come and preach, they have to send a letter to my bishop, and he has to know where I'm going and who house I'm going to preach up under. That's order up under leadership. You just going willy-nilly doing what you want to do and promoting your own agenda, and your leader don't even know what you're doing. You're out of order. There is a time for serving first, and your time for leading will come. The shift and the elevation will come. You have to be humble enough to be up under leadership. Pastors, my next point, pastors, ministers, deacons, and evangelists, no, we're not a secret group. No, we're not a secret society, but we do need to have confidentiality in the church. Good gracious alive. Good Lord Jesus, have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm just going to sit here and marinate with that one for a minute because I feel the anointing of God on me. Listen, no, we're not a secret group or a secret society, but if I serve with another group of ministers, we should be able to, whatever goes on the church, keep it amongst us and be prayer warriors first, and we should be the answer second. Whatever the problem is, we're the first line of servants that try to be the answer for whatever is going on in the church. Should nobody know what's going on in the pastor's house, minister's house, sister's house, brother's house, somebody's marriage? This, my God Almighty. Y'all so out of order with that. I'm sorry, Pastor E. I know you, but y'all so out of order with that. Y'all sitting up here, y'all feel like, listen, we need to go back to on a need-to-know basis. If you need to know, the bishop or the pastor will tell you. Other than that, it won't come out my mouth. Especially if I'm a leader serving up under somebody, it ain't supposed to come out. Well, let me just tell you, but don't tell nobody. Oh, good God Almighty. Pull up about to line people up and just smack them for that. Stop that. That's not the call of God. That's not the anointing and leadership. You're out of order with that. Y'all know I was going to kill you on this one. Leaders should always be teachable and correctable. If you have that I am grown and can't nobody tell me something attitude, you ain't ready for leadership. Please sit down. What they say in old, have several seats. Please sit down. If you're not teachable and correctable, I don't care if you're 65 in this thing, you still should be humble enough to be teachable and correctable by your leadership and definitely by God. He's the first one that's going to correct you. Your leader shouldn't even have to come to you because, remember, if you're worshiping, if you're obedient, if you're reading and you're repenting, the Spirit had already told you you was wrong. That means you done bypassed the anointing of God, and the leader now got to come and tell you, and you still out of order? Man, y'all better get it together. The worst thing to do is to determine rank by age and not by anointing. I get so many people talking about, well, I've been in the church for 20 and 25 years, and I'm sitting up there looking like and you acting like you're 2 years old. Never determine leadership or cause by years or rank. Like I said, 65 years old. I'm a young woman. Now, I don't pull rank because I'm young, but if I'm anointed and I'm the pastor and you are a servant in the church and you're 65, I'm sorry. There's an anointing that God has called me to be able to help lead you and guide you. You out of order if you're not following leadership. If the bishop or the pastor or who, apostle put this person in leadership in position and you can't follow the direction of what the order of the house is, I'm sorry, you out of order. Not all the time does years qualify you. Remember, David was younger than his brothers and Joseph was younger than his brother, and they all had to submit to the anointing. Lastly, there should be a weekly and a monthly service, this again for the bishops and the pastors, that allow your ministers to do their training in delivering sermons. Here, please hear me on this. Please make sure that you put together a proper time or service for to make sure that your ministers, deacons, evangelists, or whoever knows how to bring a sermon. I can't tell you how many churches or sermons I've sat up under, and I'm looking at them like, I don't even know what you're talking about. How did you get that all that out of all that? But somebody come and tell you that they ready and they got it and this, that, and the other, and you just let them go out and preach? No, it's supposed to be in-house first. So we can help you to develop your sermons, for we to help you to develop what it is that God is leading you to do in your style or whatever the case may be. Because remember, you're trying to preach like your pastor, but God gave you your own style. And that's how the preachers, and that's how the leaders rather, can find out, are you really truly ready for this call? Because remember, what the words that you put out, you've got to live them first. You got people that's the first-time ministers want to get up in the pulpit and want to start correcting the church. No, that ain't your job and your responsibility. You out of order. I remember, man, when I was growing up, like I said, we used to have Friday night Jubilee service. Friday night used to be training service. Our pastor had ministers that had to open up the testimony service and the prayer service. Then he assigned another minister in training to do the offering and learn how to count the offering. Then he assigned another minister in training that would deliver a 10 to 15-minute message, and then we close out. When I tell you, whatever you was assigned to do, that's what you did. If you were assigned to sing a song, you didn't get up there and testify. Oh, you got sat down real quick. If I said sing a song, I meant sing a song. I didn't say get up there and tell your whole testimony and preach for 15 minutes before you sang a song. Oh, my goodness, we got pulled so hard on that, it wasn't even funny. If they said that your sermon was only supposed to be 15 minutes, they gave you a grace period of 2 minutes, then the pastor was standing up. And when he stood up, that means it's time for you to sit down. There is no training in the house no more. People just going all over town and all across the country and this, that, and the other, and doing whatever they feel do. No, we out of order. Like I said, there was always training. Remember, Jesus even trained 12 disciples. Good gracious almighty. Y'all think y'all better than colder than Jesus? I'm going to leave that one alone. Do not have people in titles, and you are not developing them into to work their title and what they're called to do. They are not your slaves and your workers. They are servants and leaders to be trained. Creating ministries and leadership training for basics. If you need assistance, call me. I'm a trainer. Okay, that's all I have for this subject in this series. I'm going to get ready, so please get ready to start dialing 1 in 2.5 seconds. But I want our churches, our ministries, our church ministries and individual ministries to be successful. It's time out, and we need to stop the raggediness in these churches. And I'm talking about us as a church, and I'm talking about the church fellowship itself. I'm not here to beat up on y'all. No, I'm not here to point fingers, and I'm not trying to say that we got it all right either. But one thing that I do know is that God is calling back his church in order. I'm just a voice right now crying out in the wilderness, trying to help as many people as I can to get it back in order. We want to be so mega, and we want to be Walmart super centers and have all these ministries in the church, and they you half working some of the ministries and all that other stuff. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. Man, we used to have a good time being basic. 10, 12 people in the church, man, the Holy Ghost come and move. People got saved, delivered, set free, and we went home still praising God, speaking in tongues all the way up until Wednesday, until we came back for the refill. Now people leave your church. Come on now. God is going to, again, he can change people one by one, and he can do it as rapidly and as quickly as we get it in order. It has to start with us first. So I'm hoping that somebody's already dialed 1 and you're ready to get on this line and have some questions and some comments with Pastor V, because this is the last of the series. I don't have nothing else for you order the church, go back and listen to the other two broadcasts that I did. Go back and listen to this one. If you need to play it in your church, whatever you have to do, like I said, call me. I'm not one to charge. Listen, that's how in love with people in the church and God that I'm in. Listen, we'll come and we'll set up a training program for your leaders because the training is needed. We also need to train. Go back, worship. Get back in obedience. Get back to reading and repenting. And get back to killing yourself and thinking about others other than yourself. So dial one right now. Be able to call in. Pastor E is going to open up the lines for me. I pray and hope that something was said on
the
this
lines
broadcast.
Are open.
The lines are open.
Yes, they are. The lines are open. Great, great, great finale. You know, we love to keep it real here on the Now Network. And that's something that's really needed in the building of churches, the accountability and the, you know, I'm gonna throw this out there. I was waiting for you to that for you that to be your next point. But people go to church and don't even do the membership class, new membership class in churches anymore. They join and all of a sudden they're in this congregation. Next thing you know, they're doing something else and they don't even know what the church is built on. And some churches don't even have new membership classes anymore. It's ridiculous. So that order needs
that
to be back.
That is interesting because I have that. I actually have a picture that I just posted like last week Sunday that I took in front of my classroom, and you'll see on the door it says new members and next level class. We have a new members class. I asked my bishop for that like almost 5 years ago if we can start that class, and I've been teaching it ever since. And like you said, bringing people in with the basics on how to have their own personal relationship, because I always start and I tell them, I said, I was mimicking what I saw the other mothers and the other evangelists and the other people do. Nobody taught me how to have my own personal relationship. So
right.
I was praying like them and hooping like them and this, that, and the other and wonder why it wasn't working for me because it wasn't tailor-made to me.
Yeah, but new membership classes
is needed.
And that's why my father, which I'm a PK kid, I grew up in the church, and that's why he was very, very, very strong on that, because in new membership classes, when the decision was made, if you were right for that church, a lot of people
right.
go to churches that they don't fit. A lot of people are in churches that they do not fit. They just go there just because it's on the corner, it's close,
yep.
they get out early, it's convenient, instead of being somewhere that you can grow and be stretched and can be and challenged. That's a good word I want to use in that. Awesome word tonight, woman of God. Minister Terry, welcome to Women Speak Now and Be Heard. Anybody else on the line, go ahead and dial one. You get the conversation also. But Minister Terry, welcome to Women Speak Now with Pastor V.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, my beautiful family.
Good
I
evening.
Tell you, good evening, Pastor V, Pastor E, and all the listeners. I'm listening to you because, you know, I was waiting on that cake, killing ourselves, killing myself, you know.
Yes,
man,
ma'am.
I love your testimony, how you said that you worked 7 years under the leadership before you gave that first sermon, but you waited 7 years, and you did everything that the Lord had called you because you knew that was your time, that was God's timing right then. And I love also what you said about who's teaching you. Who is your mentor? Who are you under? You know what? Right now that church is within me, that I thank God I have Pastor E. And I thank God because everybody knows him. He will call me, and he lets me know something on there because I don't know all this of the word, and I'm learning something
right.
new every day out of his word. So I thank God for all of you guys, all of the pastors, all of the evangelists, all the ministers on the Now Network, and all that I come across off the Now Network, because it just gives confirmation of the word of God and what I don't understand and I didn't get an understanding, I can go back to it, and I can get an understanding from you guys who have that experience and knowledge. But I thank God for you for bringing this word as you have
Amen.
Tonight, because it's been so, you've been so transparent with it. And like you said, you're not stepping on anybody's toes, but you're just bringing it the truth. And it all comes
right.
from the word of God. And I tell you, I wrote down every scripture because this is what I do. I write it down in my journal so I can go back to it and have that as my reference in his word. And it's something that I want to just go back, and I thank God for the archive to go back and listen
yes,
over and over too. I tell you, God bless you. I love you, and God keep you. And you keep doing what you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank
God bless you. Love you.
God bless you. Love you too.
Bless you. Bless you, Minister Terry. Amen. God
Amen.
Bless you. God bless you. All right. Hey, I need to talk to you. I need you and sis out there Sunday. I'll talk to you and see what you guys' availability is. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Come on, anybody else? We got a few more minutes left over that you can dial one, get in the conversation. Everybody a little scared. We do have a full board tonight, so we are opening the lines for you now. Pastor V, as I said, good word. We had a great time Friday night. A lot of discussion. A lot of people kind of responded on my Facebook page and on the event page and things like that. I just look forward to our biweekly gathering of getting talking about it. So thank you so much. And I appreciate you for being obedient and for being diligent to the truth. The truth hurts. It does, but it will set you free. Any closing remarks from you tonight?
The only closing remarks I have is, again, church, I have to do what God has called me to do. And right now it is to, you know, help us as individuals and as churches. And again, if you don't make it about you, but make it about somebody else, because remember, I'm stepping out on faith, making it about you all who's on the line right now. It's not about me. Even if I take the heat or I take the slack or I take people talking about me or whatever the case may be, because it's not about me. There's a greater work that needs to be done. But again, it can't be done if we're not in order for what God has for us. Again, this is the preparation, is, and it's hard to always have to go back to the basics, but we can't forget the basics. And that is what we have to do. And again, you don't have to stay there long. God said, listen, if you humble yourself before me, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive your sins and heal the land, which means that if you want your church back in order, come on, do it. Do the Second Chronicles. And then watch God work, and it's not going to take him long to work. So, again, it's not like you got to repeat first grade, second grade, third grade, but we need some refresher courses up in this. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to set it back in order so we can move swiftly and quickly to where God wants us to be. Amen. So I love you all. I thank you, Pastor E, for this great opportunity to be able to bring this word. And like you said, the Friday nights that we have together, I thank you so much. Because, again, it keeps me in the word to be able to grow. Remember, I got to eat this word too, y'all.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I got to eat it too, so, yeah.
Well, bless you, woman of God.
Thank you. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Amen. You guys join us in the morning for Wake Up, Get Up, Move in Your Purpose, 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon on the East Coast. Yes, we're going to continue our series of I Am the Proof. Somebody say, I'm the proof of what? I'm the proof that God lives. Are you?
Amen.
Everybody say, my day.